Tiger!
Order, order.
Shut up, Winston.
Who said that?
The Week in Parliament, Mystery Voice.
Shut up, Winston.
Obviously directed at Winston Peters, who was talking at the time, and there's only one Winston in the house, although you'd be forgiven for thinking there were two, from the New Zealand First Leader's frequent references to his slightly more famous English namesake.
Winston Churchill once said, and I quote him, "I am a child of the House of Commons."
Although hardly a child of the New Zealand House of Representatives, it obviously wasn't Mr. Peters telling himself to shut up, while his deputy, Ron Mark, was in no doubt about the identity of the mystery voice, interrupting debate on the Health and Safety Reform Bill to lodge this protest on Thursday afternoon.
Mr. Speaker, I seek the leave of the House to table a transcript just put together by the New Zealand First Office from a comment made on the 29th of July 2015 during question time at question number one, where the Speaker of this House said, quote, shut up, Winston.
Mr. Mark's request was rejected by Assistant Speaker Lindsay Tish.
No, look, if that is the case, that information will be public knowledge now because it will be in Hansard and it's in the public domain. So I'm not going to accept that leave, that application for leave.
Lindsay Tish warned Ron Mark that if he persisted, he'd be entering the no-go zone known as relitigation.
Well, if you're going to relitigate what I've already ruled on, Mr. Mark, that's a serious matter. Mm. New point of order?
Yeah, new point of order.
Ron Mark, point of order.
This transcript is not in the public domain, Mr. Speaker. I've just brought it to the House.
If that statement was made in the House, it's in Hansard and it is in the public domain.
Ron Mark left the chamber, returning about 20 minutes later.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have taken your advice, Mr. Speaker. I have gone to the record and pulled down the Hansard for the day in question regarding the point of order I raised earlier. There is no mention of the comment from the Speaker saying, shut up, Winston, in the Hansard at all, contrary to what you thought might be. I'm going to ask again for leave of the House to table the transcript from the 29th of July, question one, where the Speaker of the House said, shut up, Winston.
I've heard enough. I have sought advice, and I refer the member to McGee on page 54.
Mr. Tish then quoted from Parliamentary Practice in New Zealand by the former Clerk of the House, David McGee.
And it says here, the preamble, but nor can the Speaker be attacked except by a direct motion and censure which notice has been given. Any statement in the House reflecting on the Speaker, either directly or indirectly, is out of order.
The Speaker said he was making that part of his ruling.
I'm quoting from here, and this is the ruling I'm giving. A suggestion of partiality on the part of the Speaker or any other occupant of the chair may constitute a contempt of the House. Accusations against the Speaker that reflect on the Speaker in that capacity or in respect of the office held by the Speaker ex officio may constitute a contempt. Mr. Mark, there are measures for you that you can follow. I'm not prepared to accept leave to table that document. I have sought advice, and that's the end of the matter. There are other avenues available to you.
Ron Mark, though, was not finished, despite another warning against straying into the dreaded area of relitigation.
Well, if you're going to relitigate what I've already said, Mr. Mark, as I said, this is a serious matter.
Point of clarification, I wasn't aware of that ruling.
Well, I've just quoted it. Order, members, order. I have just quoted it. I've given you the page number, and I suggest you seek advice on that. I've sought advice, and there are also some standing orders you might like, or Speaker's rulings you might like to look at. There's 165(1) and 165(2). I've ruled on the matter. That's the end. We're moving on.
Those Speaker's rulings, quoted by Lindsay Tish, relate to the tabling of documents, and you can find them on Parliament's website, www.parliament.nz. Look under Rules of the House. And while you're on the website, the Justice and Electoral Committee has reported back the Coroner's Amendment Bill, which, among other things, gives the news media a little more scope when reporting suspected suicides. Labour members on the committee, though, are unhappy about the removal of mandatory coroner's inquests into deaths that occur while people are in official custody or care. They'll be withholding support for the bill's second reading, but plan to move amendments at the next stage when it's debated with the House sitting as a committee, which is what the House will be doing for some of this week after returning from a short adjournment, as it slogs on through the annual debate on the estimates, now in a new format, as Rhys Lyon discovered when he talked to the newly appointed Deputy Clerk of the House, Rafael González Montero.
The estimates are basically the Minister's spending plans for the coming financial year. These are presented after the budget, and they are always preceded a couple of months earlier but by the budget policy statement, in which the Minister of Finance specified the policy areas the government plans to focus on in the budget and what the goals of the budget will be. The budgets are generally arranged by votes. Votes are basically group of individual appropriations corresponding to ministerial portfolios. After the budget has been delivered, the estimates stand referred to the Finance and Expenditure Committee, and the committee may conduct the examinations themselves or can refer to another committee, and those committees have to report within 2 months of the budget.
And so they've been reported back from select committees now, those votes?
The votes have been reported, and so that's why the estimates debate is taking place at the moment. So what happens is there are sectors in the debate, and they are divided into 10 specific sectors. So to give you an example, economic development and infrastructure, environment, finance and government administration, justice. And so they are debated in those blocks. And obviously the role of the opposition parties is to hold the government and the ministers to account in what they've said they're going to spend the money on and what they've achieved.
And this is a changed format for the debate than in previous years?
It is a change in format. So in the past, the debate was quite different and quite general. This year, it's been divided into 10 sectors so that there can be a focus on each of the different sectors. So within a sector, there are different votes. And one other exciting change about this year is that the chairs of committees are the ones that are leading the debate. So they get the first call in the debate. And then there's a structured way for each party to have their allocation to be part of the debate.
And it's along the same lines as the annual review debate?
The annual review debate was earlier this year, and it is a similar change, but not exactly the same. For the estimates, the debate has been grouped together in sectors. So from the Treasury, votes come as put into sectors, and the debate has been adopted along the same lines of the budget documents. With the annual reviews, it was a little bit different in the sense that it was divided into themes. So the business committee has decided to try the two different ways of doing things, and it will probably decide over the next few months which format they would like to adopt for the next annual review debate.
And what are the select committee's roles in the estimates debate?
So the select committees, once the votes get referred to the select committees, the select committees will hold hearings of evidence about their reports from each of the votes. And they will have a look at how the vote is being spent. It is the chance for the committee to ask questions of the ministers about how they plan to spend that money over the next financial year. They send some estimates questionnaires as well, and based on the questions that they get from about the different votes, they will ask questions of the minister, and then they will produce a report about each of the votes, which will then get debated in the House. So select committees play an important part in scrutinising the spending plans of ministers.
And it's sort of informing the debate in a way?
It is informing the debate in a way. So the business committee this time determined that, as I mentioned before, the committee chairs initiate the debate under each of the sectors, and the business committee has made a determination that each chair is to refer to the reports, the select committee reports, under each of the votes. So, yeah, they do play a really important part.
The debate, as you mentioned, is a committee of the whole House. What does that mean?
Committee of the whole House is an expanded select committee, but it's made out of all the members in the House. It's made of a chair as opposed to the speaker sitting in the speaker's chair. It is the chair. The minister is to the right of the chair, and the clerk sits to the left of the chair. And that's the opportunity for members of all the parties to have 5-minute debates about the specific topic. The debates focus on a specific part of the bill, and you need to remember that this is in itself is a bill. So it gives the members the opportunity to debate the clauses or the parts within the bill.
How are speaking times allocated for the different parties?
So when you count 11 hours that are available for the estimates debate, it allows for about 132 5-minute calls. So 8 5-minute calls were allocated to debates on each of the 10 sectors, and it was done mostly based on proportionality. But to give you an example, given that the committee chairpersons are asked to lead the debate, they will get one call. Mm-hmm. A minister will get 3 calls. The Labour Party gets 2 calls. Green Party will get 1 call, and New Zealand First would get 1 call. Then they will get supplementary calls, so that's additional calls to that first allocation, which translates in roughly 52 extra calls. So it's mostly based on the proportionality in the House.
How's that decision made as to when they get the call?
That will be at the discretion of the chair. So the chair will see probably that the minister is seeking the call. And if he has given the call to another party, he will probably take note that the minister wants to reply or take a call, and he will allocate the call next time the minister wants to speak.
How far can they stray from what's been reported from the Select Committee in a vote? I mean, sometimes it seems like it's quite off topic sometimes when a member's speaking.
It may sometimes it may be like it may seem like that, but you will see that the chair in Committee of the Whole House will try to keep the members relevant to the votes and the sectors.
Yeah.
And so you will see that is the role of the chair of the Committee of the Whole, and they do ask some members at times to keep on topic.
Is it common for the estimates debate to take a back seat to government business or other things that are going on in the House? We've seen it in the last few weeks. You know, there was a snap debate and there was the government wanting to make progress on the flag referendums. Is it normal for the estimates debate sometimes to take a back seat?
No, it is not. But the business committee and the government sets the agenda for the proceedings in the House. So there may be some times when they will have had to make choices about what is debated first, and in this instance, probably the estimates debate had to be deferred a little bit.
The new format of the debate was decided by the business committee, and you mentioned before that they're sort of still working on which model to adopt.
Yeah, as I said, there's been 2 models tried, one based on themes and one based on the sectors. So within the Office of the Clerk, there's some work going on in terms of how it worked, and probably there will be a proposal to the Business Committee as to how to do the annual review debate and what format it should take. So watch this space.
Deputy Clerk of the House, Rafael Gonzalez-Montero, talking to Rhys Lyon about the estimates debate, coming up this week as previewed by the Acting Leader of the House, Christopher Finlayson, in his business statement before the adjournment.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, 11 August, the government will look to continue the committee stage of the New Zealand Flag Referendums Bill and the Appropriation 2015-16 Estimates Bill. Wednesday is a Members' Day.
And coming up on Members' Day, a bill from Labour's David Parker that would bring payments for services performed under contract into line with the legislated minimum wage. and another from Labour Stuart Nash that would reinstate the requirement for a poll of affected electors in each district or region to ensure support for changes to the organisation of local authorities. Both bills will be coming up for their first readings on Wednesday after the general debate. More on our website at parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was brought to you with funding from Parliament.